As I said in the first service, I've broken a tooth. It's on my tongue side, so I might slur some words. It's not drinking. I did have some communion wine before, but I don't think we have any alcohol in that, so I can't blame it on that. This topic I'm going to speak on today is something that is a challenge for me. I'm not there, but I believe I'm growing, and I want to keep growing. Sustaining faith is the title. And sometimes we need sustaining faith to keep us going. Sometimes we need to be pushing the boundaries back a little bit so that we're actually doing more and more and more for God in our lives. And faith is a key part of that, because if we're actually trying to do it in our own strength, it's tough. When we're doing it in the strength of God, it's a lot easier, because we're not sort of trying to screw ourselves up and make ourselves do something. We're relying on Him. We're giving ourselves over to Him like the potter and the clay we've been singing about this morning, and allowing Him to make us into those men and women of God He needs us to be. First three scriptures that I've put, only parts of some of the scriptures, are three of the most challenging scriptures that I know of, passages or bits of scripture. Romans 14:23, whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. It's talking about food and what we can eat and what we drink in the context. But the actual idea of that stands alone. Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. And probably one that's really very challenging is Luke 18 verse 8, which is talking about justice in the world and praying to God. But at the end, Jesus makes a statement: when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? So, what is faith? The Greek word for faith is pistis, which means persuasion or conviction. That's sort of like a secular definition. In the New Testament, it expanded out a little bit, and faith, the word pistis actually denotes an active trust or firm commitment to God rather than just a passive belief. It's a trust that's sourced in God, and so it's a divine persuasion. Totally different just to convicting yourself and making yourself do something. This is something that God's doing in us and through us. Our faith journey starts when God first reveals Himself to us and we're born again into Christ Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. God is drawing us to Himself, opening our eyes to the truth, and this creates faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9, they're words that we know well. Having faith involves an exchange of trust from living for ourselves to living for Him. We need to recognize the futility of everything without God and the desperate need of understanding the truth that God and His will are all that really matter. We can't take anything else with us for eternity. God has gifted us with the faith to believe in and embrace His Son's saving work if we're Christians. This saving faith is essential, but our faith journey doesn't and shouldn't finish there. Saving faith is the foundational faith building block designed for faith to build on faith. Romans 1 verse 17 says, for in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Faith should be the center thing that we're doing in life. And it should build. None of us has the means within our natural selves to carry out God's will. We need God's gift of faith to do that. It's the power by which we come into new life in Jesus, and it's also the power by which we exercise this new life of God in us. That's why it's really impossible to please God without faith, and whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Faith is how we appropriate God's grace into our life and how we release it to achieve God's will. That's what life is actually all about. We make it about other things, but in God's eyes, this is what it's all about. Divinely sourced faith is not imagination or something we have to attain by self-effort or mental gymnastics or willing something into existence. It does not rest on a good idea or some emotional experience we may have had. It's God breaking into our human experience and revealing himself and his will to us. It's knowing the truth of something as God sees it. We can be sure that in the mind of God, that thing that faith is based on really exists and is as good as ours because God has birthed the faith in us to deliver on earth what he has envisioned in heaven. So faith can be defined as having trust, assurance or confidence in God and his word. It's a God-gifted anchor that tethers us to God and the key to unlocking the power of God so that his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. So how is faith birthed in us? A number of ways, probably others, but these are the three that I'm actually going to highlight. Faith, firstly, is birthed in God's revelation to us. In Romans 10:17, it says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word, which is rhema, of Christ. And there is a little bit of debate about logos and rhema, the two Greek words for word, as to whether they're the same thing or whether they mean different things. I think rhema comes with a little bit more of a revelation for the time, and logos is more of an established word. It overlaps a bit, but it's I think it's a good way to think of it. But we need this revelation to come to us if we're going to walk in faith, because that's where faith comes from. And it can come via scriptures, good way to get them, a Holy Spirit prompt, even just as we're doing things in the world. I mentioned in the first service about Joel finding a fork in the road. Doesn't mean anything much unless God is there speaking through it. That's the key bit, Holy Spirit prompt. Another Holy Spirit-directed person can help us. Even a God-sent angel, as did for Mary and people that really needed a special direction from God. God's audible voice, like Samuel had, or a dream or vision from him. These are all ways that God reveals his will to us. And once that revealed will is out there, Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. He has said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Once God's revelation has been revealed, it comes with a guarantee from God which certifies it. We can be sure that God will bring it to pass. Further proof of that's in Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11, where it talks about God sending his word out. It won't return to him void. So, are you willing for God to use you to birth his revealed will on earth, or does God have to look for another way? Once that revealed will is out there, that will is going to happen. God says, I'm not going to pull this thing back and change my mind about it. It's going to happen. So is God going to use you or someone else to birth it? If you're willing, then you have to spend time listening to God and waiting for his word. Jesus spent much of his time on this earth doing this, spent time seeking, being with his Father and learning what the Father wanted him to do. And if Jesus did it, and we're supposed to be following his example, then we need to be doing it too. God will speak to us in the ways that we have faith to receive, because God wants to get his word out to us. And he will be desperately trying to communicate with us. So if it's through scripture or some other way, God knows what you need and he will speak to you in that way. But we have to actually set aside time to seek his face. If God is wanting something done, he knows what we need to prove to ourselves. God will speak to us in the ways that we have faith to receive. This is often through scripture because these don't change. Our memory of something that we get in another way often does get a bit fuzzy over time. But scriptures don't change. We can go back to them and remind ourselves of what they say, and it helps us to stay grounded in the thing that God actually did say. Then we need to hold on to God's revelation and test it so that we're sure that we're standing on faith ground. If God wants something done, he knows what we need to prove to ourselves that this is God's will. So ask, seek, knock, and make sure you're standing on faith ground. A good test is to look for God's love in it, because God's will has love at its core, because God is love. Agape, selfless love, is God's signature, which we should see in everything God does. Love authenticates that something is from God. So any faith birthed in us by God will have love infusing it. Let's not let anything in us dilute the love that came of God that came within the faith birthing process. Things like pride, presumption, and self-centeredness. That word, once we receive it, God's not going to take it away again. As it said, that word will achieve the purpose for which he sent it. So we must not, and I think sometimes some of the big leaders in the world today have taken the glory for themselves instead of always putting it back to God. Pride has entered in sometimes. God forbid we go the same route. In 1 Corinthians 13:2, it says, "If I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I gain nothing." So once we're sure that we're in the standing on faith ground, nothing can stop that revelation from becoming an earthly reality, even time. Sometimes we look and we think, when's this going to happen, Lord? When's this going to happen? You've given me a word. When's it going to happen? Well, God knows, and it will happen in his timing. And we just have to stand there in faith, keep trusting. Nothing is impossible. Remember, though, that faith is not about us moving mountains. It's about us participating with God in the bringing of his will to bear on earth, with the creative power of God backing us up. Sometimes I think we want to take that mountain building sort of strength and become like a superhero. It's not anything to do with God. What God wants is to us to join with him and partner with him in the achieving of his will on earth. And when we're doing that, the actual power and strength that we need to do anything is there for us. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible. So if God can create the universe, absolutely everything, then whatever it takes for those faith things to be birthed are going to be possible for God. And we need to trust and believe that. Another thing I've sort of added in afterwards, after these notes, is that another good test to ask, if you're asking if this is from God or not, is to ask, is this a kingdom goal or just something I want? And if you can answer that truly and honestly, that this is God's, what God wants, it's a help. Second way we can get faith is to be birthed in us by a Holy Spirit apportioned gift. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit. Sometimes we need a Holy Spirit infusion or blast of faith to get us there, over the line, to be able to do something that God really wants done, and he wants to use us. And certainly when we're actually operating in the other gifts of the Spirit, the gift of faith often is in combination with it, so that we have the faith to be able to do the other things that God is asking us to do, bring a prophecy or a something else that God wants to do, especially miracles, a word of knowledge. God doesn't always just infuse faith into us. Sometimes the process of gaining faith is just as important as the faith itself. Otherwise, I think he'd always just come along and give us a gift of faith every time we need to do something. What God wants us to do is to grow in him, to actually drive us to spend time with him, so that we're actually getting to know our God and understanding his heart, understanding his word to us and living in the good of it, because it changes us as well as achieving the will of God on earth in terms of what we do. So it's something I think that faith is a whole process that is trying to get us to be the men and women of God that he wants us to be. Faith also, as a third thing, can be grown in us as a fruit of the Spirit. As we walk by, live by, and keep in step with the Spirit of God instead of living for ourselves and gratifying the desires of the flesh, God will grow Holy Spirit fruit in us. And one of those is faith. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. It says faithfulness there, but it's the Greek word pistis. And in the older translations of these verses, it actually says faith rather than faithfulness. And that is probably more accurate. So I think you could think of faithfulness here as full of faithness, leading to the quality of being loyal, steadfast, reliable in relationships, duties or beliefs, which is our usual understanding of what faithfulness means. So how do we grow in faith? Whatever faith we have originates in God. So to grow in faith, we need to seek God and grow in him. And we don't really get to know someone unless we communicate with them, and prayer and spending time in his presence is the way we do this with God. Holy Spirit-led prayer, worship in spirit and truth, praying Holy Spirit, prayerful Holy Spirit-led reading of God's word, open our hearts and minds to the reality of who God is and what he wants to do, what he wants us to do for him. So the more we get to know God, the more we'll be able to trust him. Because getting to know the all-powerful, all-knowing Creator God cannot but change us and cause us to see things as they really are. We're sharing time with Almighty God. And this redirects us away from just self into kingdom. Because we see that life isn't just about us alone. It's about us with him bringing his will to bear. This invasion of God's truth into our lives, because I can't think of it in any other way to put it, it is almost like an invasion. It creates it into our lives, creates faith, and is the greatest power we have available to us, because it is the way the power of God is released into human experience. Nothing will be impossible for us. Faith is a divine response wrought in us by God. 2 Thessalonians 1:11 says, "To this end we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power." Divinely inspired faith will demand action. And this is another way that we grow in God. I'll read the scripture first there, James 2:18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. We need to outwork whatever faith demands as the Spirit of God leads. And when we see God at work through us, and we will, for God does not lie or change his mind, it encourages more faith. Faith builds on faith. So our knowledge and understanding of God and his ways is reinforced through life's experiences as we by faith prove God. The more faith in God and the more we outwork, more faith in God and the more we outwork the faith that we have, the more we experience of his faithfulness and the more our faith will grow. We can be inspired by the faith in other people too. And that may be a good prompt to us, but we do need to learn to do this ourselves. We can't live in someone else's faith. This is something that needs to be personal. Hindrances to faith. The enemy and his world order see our faith as their primary target. They want us to be powerless and weak and unfruitful, questioning God's existence. They want to diminish and destroy our faith by encouraging fear and so backing away from God and his will. Pride rooted in us taking the praise and glory and credit due to God. Doubt, which diminishes faith because we begin to see faith as an illusion or an escape from reality, or is this real? Sin, which grieves the Holy Spirit and causes us to feel unclean, guilty and unworthy to come into the presence of the Father, which is the very place we desperately need to be. Presumption, which is us deciding what God wants instead of seeking God and asking him what he wants. A lessened view of God so that we start to believe that God isn't interested or doesn't care about us or isn't there. Diminished view of ourselves, where instead of seeing who we are in Christ, we only see the weakness of our flesh, often leading to hopelessness, despair and depression because we just say, I'm not good enough. I've got nothing. But in Christ, we are something. We need to keep our eyes fixed on God, knowing we are tethered to him and he will give us all we need to overcome these hindrances to the faith. The truth is that God does exist, that he has saved us by the work of Christ, that we are new creations in Christ, that we have God's Spirit living within us. And that Spirit is always willing to do whatever it takes to see the will of God done. Christians are not to deny the reality of difficulty or hardship or pain or challenge. The question that faith poses is this. Is there a higher truth than what seems obvious at the moment? And faith cries, yes, there is. That truth is God and what he is revealing to us. All the heroes of the faith that you see in Hebrews 11 chose to believe God rather than their current circumstances. Their faith was born of God, and when he offered to plant it in their hearts by his word, they cried, yes. We need to respond to God in the same way. We walk by faith, not by sight, according to 2 Corinthians 5:7. Satan will try and bring us into bondage to what is tangible and obvious, what our five senses are telling us. He wants us to live our lives at the level of what we see immediately before our eyes and be limited to what our old nature is wanting us to believe. God wants us to die to this limited view of life and see things as he sees them. He wants us to be transformed by the renewal of our mind and begin to stand in the living power of God and his word. This is the life of faith that God offers us and wants us to increasingly embrace, no matter what the world or the enemy throw at us. When we live this life, faith life, we not only receive all God's grace resources to carry out his will, but we'll also know how to effectively use them. Now, faith, again, pistis, is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Divinely sourced faith knows that God, that what God has said will happen, will happen. It's certain of the outcome. The capacity for us to believe it is certain comes buried in the faith we receive from God. But sometimes we need to dig it out using a prayer-shaped shovel. It's important to go to God and in your stand of faith and keep that relationship with him going. Keep leaning on him. Keep almost being reassured in him that this is what he wants. And if it is truly from God, he will keep reassuring you. If it's not from God, it'll float away and disappear. A journey of faith will have crossroads where we have to make a choice. Will we accept things as they are or seem to be? Or will we stand in faith with God who says, nothing is impossible for me, and I am saying that this will happen? So how do we sustain our faith no matter what? 1 Peter 1 verse 6 and 7 says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we're going to have our faith tested. The world or the enemy want us to fail. In fact, they want to destroy us. And they usually play on our fleshly weaknesses to tempt us to make bad faith-destroying choices. So how do we sustain faith in the place of such onslaughts? We do what we know builds faith: spending time in his presence, praying, worshipping, and reading God's word. These build faith. Watching Netflix, not so much. Doing iPads, so we're glued to them, and that doesn't build much faith either. And yet, I think probably if you're like me, you spend a lot more time doing those things than we do spending time in God's presence. God allows trials to prove the genuineness of our faith. They strengthen us and allow the light of God to shine through us if we negotiate those trials with him. And then when a whole community walks in faith, no matter what hardships it's facing, it becomes a living witness to our Lord Jesus Christ to the nations. So our church and our lives start to speak volumes to the people out there. 1 John 5 verse 4 says, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Those of us who are in Christ can by faith avail us ourselves of the complete victory he won for us on the cross. We don't need to fear the enemy or the world or what they can do to us. We can be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. We can ask God for help by praying in the Spirit, because the Spirit knows what we really need and how to pray in faith in order to receive it. And we have the armor of God to protect us if we put it on. And the power of God behind all we are and do if we're living for God in the way that he wants us to live. Remember, the shield of faith is designed to snuff out, extinguish the fiery darts of the evil one. I've written, any attack sourced in the enemy. Well, it doesn't snuff out the attack. It snuffs out the dart that he throws to try and hurt us and burn us, if you like. The Roman shields used to extinguish those fiery arrows. And further, we can actually lock faith shields with each other by continuing to meet together, to pray and look out for and support and encourage and inspire each other. And then when the enemy attacks, he's not just facing one of us, he's facing all of us, because we're working together. And we always need to remember that our eternal destiny is assured no matter what we have to go through in life, because God will never leave us or forsake us. So, what are you drawing on in life? Are you making choices that lead to divinely inspired faith? I put here, you will know if you are, because you will be being fruitful for God. Because that's how we're fruitful. A last caveat, does this faith talk intimidate you? Are you thinking, I can never attain to this? Jesus said, truly I say to you, if you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. It's not about the size of our faith, although God wants it to grow. It's about who our faith is in. If our trust is secure in God, trusting his promises and what he said to us and what he's revealed to us, choosing his will for our life instead of our own, this size of faith is enough for God to use us to change the world. Hallelujah.